Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley helps us take the pulse of our relationship with God.
Here is a sign that you are growing spiritually, and that is that when you hear what God says, there is an emotional response to what is happening. It is not a healthy sign to just look at it and be flat emotionally. And it could be a sign that you're not mingling faith with what God is having to say.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Martin Luther said, faith is permitting ourselves to be seized by the things we do not see. Real faith connects the belief in our hearts with the action of our feet. And today, Pastor Ray takes us to faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews for a look at what we can learn from the faith of Noah. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're going to be telling the story of Noah, and I'm doing this in Hebrews 11. It's a great chapter about faith. Now, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved, that means it touched him emotionally with godly fear. Therefore, he did something. He prepared an ark, and the purpose was for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. That was his testimony, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. That's what he inherited. We're going to look at this phrase by phrase. What were the days of Noah like? Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. How many of you believe that God knows everything? God knows what's coming. And therefore, God warns those who listen to him and follow him. And the Bible is a prophetic book. There is no other book on planet Earth like this book. This is God's word. It is amazing. It is awesome. It is powerful. It's like a sharp, two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of joints and marrow and of soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man hath at any time seen Him, but the only begotten which comes from the bosom of the Father has declared Him and made Him known. This is all talking about Jesus. So the Word of God is powerful. It warns us of things not yet seen. Up until the time of Noah, no one had ever seen rain like this before come upon the earth. Now, by the way, though they may not agree with or believe the story of Noah and the flood and so forth, scientists will agree, even the secular scientists, that the world was of long ago was very, very, very different than the world we have now. One of the things that is described by those who have come from that scientific background and as they read the book of Genesis is that prior to the flood, God had divided the firmament above, the waters above, and the waters that were below. But there was some have said it's like it was a canopy of water or moisture that covered the earth. And it had this powerful effect of blocking probably, 90% more of the ultraviolet rays that come through that are so damaging to our environment and to our own bodies as well. So it blocked that out. And quite honestly, now, maybe 100 years ago, people would laugh at the Bible because they said, oh, there are people that lived 900 years old and stuff like that. Guess what? They don't laugh anymore today. And so the medical community is saying, well, why can't we, they're beginning to tinker with all of that and say, we think that we can make it possible that people could actually live several, you know, now 100 years old is nothing, but they're on to now saying several hundred years old. One of the things that has been then put forth is that the reason people lived so long back then is that that water canopy that protected all the ultraviolet rays, the essential effect it had was it just turned the aging process really, really slow. So that all the phases of life you went through, you just went through a lot longer. So there is some actual logical basis to what was happening in those days. And we read in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. This is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. God told Amos, if I'm going to do something big, if eternity is going to intersect human history, I'll let you know. I'll tell you what's coming. I will prepare you. This has always been God's pattern, not only for the days of Noah, but even for our time and for our generation. God does nothing. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Because God is loving, he always warns us of what is to come. Now, what were the days of Noah like? Read with me Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, go on and read Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. You know, there are certain people that they don't like the concept of judgment. It's not a popular concept, but to the point where they say, well, I don't believe in it. And somehow end up judging God as if he's bad for bringing judgment. Well, I mean, you need to actually find out, well, why did God judge the whole world? If you just take for a moment and suspend your prejudices, and you actually look into, okay, so what was happening in the days of Noah? There's one word I want you to circle there in the middle of verses 11 and 12, the word violence. God looked down from heaven. The reason, you could basically put it this way. God's judgment was, he said, I'm going to stop you from murdering, killing, you know, holocausting one another. It's done. I've had it. I am sick of it. I can't stomach it anymore. What moved God to put an end to what was happening was a pervasive, radical, unchecked violence upon the whole earth. And when he looked, it was darkness everywhere, and there was only one little, you know, ray of light, and it was Noah and his family. So God did not judge the whole world. There was grace and there was mercy in the midst of that. What is very interesting to me is that some of our secular historians have been writing books, essays, articles, and papers saying that the last century, the last 100 years, they are making the argument that it has been the single most violent century on record. And you know, as I do, when you go and you study that century, the history books, World War I. And they thought that was the war to end all wars, only to be followed by World War II, let alone then the Holocaust. And even then, if that were it, that would be enough. But there have been numerous wars, some of which the United States has been involved in, but many more wars in that last century that we were not even a part of. It is the most violent century. Well, we don't have the record of exactly what was going on in Noah's day, but let us just say this. that there was probably some kind of a similarity where there was just violence everywhere and God had drawn a line. He could take so much and just, you know, almost as children that play and then they get aggravated and then they start hurting one another. And at some point a parent stops and, you know, separates and says, okay, stop. That's enough. That's what God was doing in this time, only on a much more severe level. Now, faith sees the future. We read, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What was it that Noah saw? The primary unseen thing he was warned about was, of course, that the earth's population was about to be judged and destroyed by a monster cataclysmic flood that would cover the whole earth, a judgment by water. And again, though there are many that do not, you know, say that they believe in the Bible, there is the evidence within the records around the earth that even on the highest mountains at one time were covered with water. The Bible says that there was a great flood and that the background of that was God dealing with mankind. Noah saw this. The second thing that Noah saw was that something that had never been dreamed of, that God would deliver a man and his whole house, his whole family, through the great ark, which Noah himself would build. Now, inwardly, what was going on in this man, Noah? He's written to us as an example for future generations. Noah came to possess a visual certainty. God told him, spoke to him the word, this is what I am about to do. And because Noah believed what God said, he saw what God was going to do.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We love to hear when a life has been impacted by these daily studies.
Dear Ray, I just wanted to thank you for all the positive things your ministry does. My life has dramatically changed. I was doing drugs, and I'd gotten into some trouble with the police. My wife left me, which was a shock because I thought I was the best guy for her. A friend introduced me to your radio program, and at first, I couldn't stand it. I was pretty much forced to listen because my friend drove us to work. I didn't like hearing it because I knew I was doing everything wrong. But after a while, I started to receive the truth, and it began to change my life. Thankfully, my wife returned, and we renewed our vows. Now we have a baby on the way. We talk about Christ every day, and I know my role now as a spiritual man and a husband. I can't thank you enough.
If Pastor Ray's daily studies have had an impact on your life, would you let us hear from you? Write Pastor Ray today at ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, let me just say this. There are many people that know about the Bible. There are many people that read the Bible. They read it like, you know, any other book. They say it's nothing special. It's certainly not supernatural. It's filled with some good morals and parables, a little bit of mythology and supernatural mixed in, but that's the extent of it. They read it and they do not see. But when a man or a woman reads the Bible with faith, there is something that I don't know how to put it into words. The Holy Spirit has to communicate it to us. It's mysterious. And the way that it was, I don't know if you knew this. In the Old Testament, do you know what a prophet was called? A seer. He was called a seer. Maybe you've read that and you've always wondered, well, what did that mean? It meant he saw. It wasn't just that he heard what God said, but because he believed what God said, he could see what God was describing. In other words, the ability to see the future, if that's what God was talking about. And so Noah came to possess he could see this mountain of water that had never, nobody had ever seen it. It had never happened before, this mountain of water coming down to cover the whole earth. And he could see this ark, this boat that God had told him to build, made of cypress wood. He saw it rise above the tempest and above the storm and save him and save his whole family. Now, here's what's very interesting. The Bible is layered on so many levels. So often in our Western way of thinking, we look at it as kind of a flat plane. In fact, let me give you a very quick theology class. If I was going to draw on a chalkboard to you and describe Western thought, I would be on the chalkboard and I would just draw a straight line. So imagine this straight line and then you put an X on it. Here we are. And everything is about the X on the line where we are. Everything is about here and now. Now, let's go to a Hebrew thought. If I was professor, I would draw a big circle. And on that circle, I'd put a little check. And where that check was, I'd see now as life moves, it doesn't move in a straight line. It moves in a circle or it moves in a cycle. And guess what? You'll end up right back to the original place where you started. God made everything, even in the physical universe and even within the natural realm, as a reflection of spiritual realities. Everything happens in cycles. And those cycles repeat themselves again and again and again. That's why you can never say, well, I've read the Bible once. I think I know it now. No. There are so many layers to the Bible, and the idea, Middle Eastern or Hebraic type thought is, every time you've gone through one cycle and you go around again, you're not doing the same things. You are now, as it were, you've passed through another doorway into a deeper knowledge, understanding, as well as experience of where you're headed. Someone described it this way. Some are playing, they think that they're wise because, well, now I have read the Bible and I've got this chessboard and I know I've gone from playing checkers to playing chess. And, you know, it was described, well, imagine 12 layers of chessboards all playing at the same time. That's the depth and the mystery and the level of what the Bible has to say. One of the things that you begin seeing is patterns within the scripture. And I mention all of this only to say this. Other than just the story of, okay, Noah and the flood, yeah, I know the boat and the animals that came in. But you begin to realize that in many times in stories, when wood takes significance in a story, even in the Old Testament, you are seeing a picture of the gospel itself in the Old Testament. And therefore, that boat that was made of cypress wood that lifted above the storms and the tempest to the saving of Noah and his house is actually a type and a picture of the cross or the tree of Jesus Christ that saves us from the judgment of God that is poured out upon all for their sins. Now, faith sees what is coming. And then notice this, faith is secondly obedient to the revealer of the future. Hebrews 11:7, it says, now Noah moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. See, we're circle the word moved there. He had an emotional response to what he saw coming. Here is a sign that you are growing spiritually. And that is that when you hear what God says and what God is revealing to you and he shows it to you, there is an emotional response to what is happening. It is not a healthy sign to just look at it and be flat emotionally. And it could be a sign that you're not mingling faith with what God is having to say. I mean, and it stands to reason, doesn't it? If God showed you, I'm going to judge, the whole world is going to die, and for you to be unemotional about it, there's some disconnect, something is wrong. And in fact, it was that very emotional disconnect that led to the violence where people could kill one another and not think anything or feel anything about it. It was a sociopathic society. But here was Noah. Noah showed in his emotional response to what God said, he was moved with godly fear, and he did something. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. So the next thing we see about Noah's faith is it brought out a holy obedience. In other words, it's not just being emotional, but the emotion leads you to do something. And what you do is obey what God has said. God said, build an ark. So Noah began to build an ark. His obedience was evidenced when he began to obey and build the ark that God had given to him. God gave his servant something to do, something practical, rather than just sitting there with nervous anxiety, wringing his hands, waiting for the inevitable. By the way, how long Noah was there building the ark, we don't know exactly, but it seems like it was approximately 120 years. That's a very long time. It says he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now read with me Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. For 120 years, Noah preached. And when people would stop and they would laugh and they would mock and they would say things to him or whatever, he would stop. And he would tell them, why are you doing this? And he would tell them what he was doing. And I think that Noah, you know, we have a very, we don't know exactly what he said, but I'm going to read something to you. This is fiction, something that somebody wrote long ago by imagining what Noah might have said in his day as he preached. Something like this. Faithless men, maddened by passion, do not forget the great things our God has done. For the immortal, all-provident Savior knows all things. He has commanded me to be a messenger to you, lest you be destroyed by your madness. Sober yourselves. Cease from your evil practices and from your murderous violence against each other as you soak the earth with human blood. Reverence, my fellow mortals, the supreme and unassailable Creator in heaven, the imperishable God who dwells on high. Call upon him, all of you, for he is good, to be merciful to you all. For this whole vast world of men will be destroyed with water, and you will then utter cries of terror. Suddenly, the elements will turn against you, and the wrath of Almighty God will come upon you from heaven. Therefore, come, while the door is still open. I don't know what exactly Noah said, but he might have said something similar. Certainly, in his own way, he preached the message. That was the gospel of the Old Testament. There was an ark. And ironically, what was it called that was in the Holy of Holies? It was called the Ark of the Covenant. What is an ark? The ark is the place where God's presence is, and where God's presence is, there is rest, there is protection, there is the divine glory, and there is salvation. And so here was Noah building a place where God would reside with his children who would listen to him and trust him and love him, and safety and peace and protection and rest.
Important lessons from the story of Noah today. And Pastor Ray Bentley will have more from this study next time here on Maranatha Radio. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Faith Sees What Is Coming. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for a gift of any amount. Just mention that title, Faith Sees What Is Coming. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book called The Habits of a Disciple. It takes commitment to adopt these practices. What's on the other end of that commitment? How will it change us?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you know, you finally hear the good news that God loves us, even though we've sinned and we've failed and we've fallen short, and he forgives us and he loves us. But that's only the beginning. Being saved and being born again is the beginning of a whole new way of life. And, you know, Jesus called his earliest followers disciples. And we are disciples, just like Peter, James, John, Mary, and Martha. And the word disciple really is where we get the word discipline from. There are going to be certain new things that we need to incorporate into our lives. The words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, the commands of Jesus, and these really become the gateways, the portals through which the kingdom of heaven, supernatural life, flows into our minds, flows into our thought life, and into our emotions and heart, and begins to overflow as we begin walking with the Lord and how to walk with the Lord. The kingdom of heaven overflows our lives.
All right. Well, we hope you'll let us send you a copy of Pastor Ray's important book, The Habits of a Disciple. We'll send it to you to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day, so we hope you'll help make them possible with your donation today. Just write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.